Hello and welcome to Indie Author Diaries, a weekly diary podcast with two indie writer mums. Your show hosts are Sarah Gay.
Hi everyone.
And me, Lisa M. White. And we are chatting about all things indie writing. Let's get stuck into it. So we thought we'd keep this one pretty relaxed. Not that any of our chats are not relaxed, but yeah, we're feeling the need for something cruisy after a busy week. So thought we'd start with an update first. We want to go first, Sarah? And then we'll get into our chat topics, which we're basically going to talk about imposter syndrome. And was there another one?
There was putting your best work
putting your best there. Work out. Something you're feeling a bit passionate about at the moment.
I am. So I thought... Oh, what a week. Yeah, so I will start with my update. So, I mean, since the last time we talked, I think I was telling everyone that I was doing my outlines for next year because I'm also not just doing outlines for Sarah Gay, but I'll be starting up another pen name, which is really exciting. And I can't wait to do that, but we're not going to, you know, dive into that or let everyone know yet. So I've just finished off my outlines this week, finally. So I've got, so far, I've got 10 books ready.
Wow. Congratulations.
Eight to write and two are just in the editing phase now. So, I mean, I've been super busy trying to get all that happening. And then this weekend, I just realized like I needed to probably stop for a few days and just, you know, I don't know what you would call it. It's grieving, but it's not. So I had someone in my family pass away that it was probably a little sudden, and she was very young still and left children. So that sort of really hit me hard. And but at the same time, I think we all need those wake-up moments. We get a lot of them in life, sadly, but it's those wake-up moments where, you know, business is so important to me. You know, my writing is my business. It is my brand. But sometimes I can probably get a little bit too carried away and just forget about spending time with my own family and realizing that, you know, the writing's not going anywhere. It's okay to slow down sometimes and just really love up on them, because I can always go back to writing the next day. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Just for the next few days, I won't be doing any writing or, you know, sticking to my daily routine, which is what I've actually become accustomed to now, and just taking some time out. And I think every author needs to do it sometimes, because life's so short. We can get a little wrapped up in wanting to get to the next level, which is great, but you know, life still goes on around us, and sometimes we need to stop and really just check that beauty out.
I think it's really hard when you feel passionate about so many things. But, you know, you're feeling passionate about the writing and about the people you care about, and you want, it's really hard to make that decision. No, it's not a decision. It's not the right word, but how to spend enough time doing both of them to the extent that you want to.
The balance is so hard, because we can just get carried away. We just, I mean, you and I alone, we just love writing. It's really a part of our personal lives as well. And, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we only have such a short amount of time, and I feel guilty sometimes when I stop. I feel, you know, like I'm taking a step back from where I want to be, or where, you know, my plan, I have a very loose plan, but where I want to be, but you need that time out. This is what we've been talking about all year. We've been talking about burnout, doing more than what we possibly can, which in turn, you know, takes away from that passion of writing. This is the reason why we do it. We want a career out of it. We're working really hard towards doing that. But at the end of the day, there are other people in our lives too. And yeah, it's nice to just focus on them sometimes.
I think, well, yeah, and it's easy to get get stuck into it, like when you're a bit of a type A personality who likes to get things done and you're good with task oriented things, like I'm going to write today and I'm going to do this, and you're doing all that, though the other guilt, so you feel guilt that you're not spending the time with the kids. Like on the weekend I was writing to get an edit done, and even though I'm sitting in the lounge room, you know, I just feel guilty. It's like, oh, it was nice weather one day, we should have gone out and gone to the park, you know, like we go to the park so many weekends out of the year, but you feel guilty, you know. And so I think that's just
no, that's a whole other topic. My husband's just had a talk with me about that.
Writer guilt, mother guilt.
He's like, don't you feel guilty?
So anyway, yeah, it's that balance thing. I think it's just a dance. It's a dance that we're going to get better at or not as time goes on, yeah, but we'll just going to be dancing. So, yeah. So, all right. So what else have you been doing? You finished your outlines and you're taking time out, which I think is excellent. I think you really need to listen to.
I am. I mean, I just ran a promo this week. So I just ran a promo this week on Curve My Song, because the fourth book in the Curvies came out. I did a 5-day free run for that through Kindle Unlimited, because all my books are in Kindle Unlimited. And that was really just for those people that haven't read the Curvies, just to introduce them to it, if so they can check out the first book. Usually when I release something that's consecutive in a series, I'll always put the first one for a free run. It just sort of helps boost the sales. I think it's a really smart choice. I usually, when I put a new release out, I usually don't really promote book 2, 3, 4, whatever it is in the series. I always go back and start at the start again. So the fourth book came out next week. My fifth will come out the 1st of December, so it's like a week and a half away. Mm-hmm. The fifth will come out. Usually I release a month apart, but I just felt like, because they're shorter stories, I just felt to release it, you know, within 2 weeks of the fourth coming out. I've also got another little surprise nugget at the end of the fifth one, so we're just laughing about this. There is a pen name involved with this. If you've read the Curvies, you'll understand why. So I've got some little books coming out at the end of that. I don't have a million pen names. This is just something that sort of came up. So keep a lookout for Skylar Barnes if you like little insta-love stories. They were just a hoot to write. And they were more of a passion project. So I didn't put all my eggs in one basket for these and, you know, think they're going to be New York Times bestsellers. We will laugh our heads off if that ever happened. These are just, I just always wanted to write these little Insta love stories that were sort of born out of my love for 80s rom-coms, like 16 Candles. I just watched Teen Witch again the other day.
I haven't seen it. Really? I have to find this movie because you told me about it a few times.
It's so insta-love, you know, like it's like overnight they fell in love. And I just love that concept because sometimes you just want that little sigh moment where anything's possible, even though it's so not possible. So I really wanted to do these books. So that little set's coming out soon. So, but they won't be overly advertised. These are just little Easter eggs for those people that do like a little bit of Insta love and aren't going to roll their eyes at me. You can roll your eyes at me. I do it myself. So that's my update. That is what I've been working on so far. So I have been really busy, and but now it's just time to slow down.
Well, sounds good. All right. Well, what have I done? So in this last week, I feel like I've had a big week actually. I finally finished my edits, like my, you know, complete first draft of my werewolf book the way that I want it to be. There's probably still a little bit of developmental stuff I need to do in the last couple of chapters, but I've now sent that off to my editor before we started recording here. So yay. She'll come back with basically my, you know, the appraisal and my, what's the word, like the quote for the developmental edit and, you know, subsequent copy edit. So that'll be good. I'm really enjoying that. And I'm not in the right place now to write second book. Right after I finished that book, I was like, yep, I've got ideas. I'm ready to go. And then, I don't know, being in America kind of changed my vibe. And so I'm leaning more towards my vampire series vibe. So I'm currently writing that. And so I've started the first book of that, which is called Hidden. So initially, this book has changed names 3 times because I initially wrote the book and then I realized, oh, that was the series name rather than the book name. So then I wrote that one and then I got the developmental edit notes from that. And I basically realized, oh, bugger, I've got to start the book somewhere else. This is not the start of the book. This is book 2. So I've now started what will be officially book 1 of that vampire series. And the good thing about it is when I finally do come to release it, I will have book 2 and book 2.5 ready to go. Because even though I love that idea in theory, in reality, I'm just not that patient and it takes me so long that it's not true. I am that patient. I held off 3 seasons of the cooking show before I released it because I wanted to be able to release it without that panic of not being able to meet the deadline. But what I did find is, yeah, I just burnt out. And so by the time after filming it for 3 years, by the time it came to releasing it, I was just exhausted and I couldn't put that passion that I felt for it while I was making it into it. And so I want to release these pretty much as I'm writing them. And that's the journey. You can either come on it or find me in 20 years time and then read them when they're all released. Hopefully they will all be released by then.
I love that 20 years time.
So anyway.
I'm so excited. I'm very excited. I can't wait to see what next year holds for you because these are great books. I've been very lucky to have a look. So it's worth the wait.
Hopefully. So that's the 2 biggies. So I'm 5,000 words into Hidden. So it'll be interesting to see how much I get next week. I feel like I want to keep writing it. And I didn't end up writing yesterday because I spent most of yesterday editing. And so now I'm like, oh, yeah, I can wait another day. But I think I will when the kids go to bed, maybe tonight, because I've got, you know, my son's homesick and so I want to spend some time with him. I think I'll just make sure I do at least 20 minutes, you know, just get started into the next scene so that when I pick up on Tuesday, I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is where my head's at, and then I'll write it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the other thing that I did was I had my first write-in with a friend. Like I haven't actually written with anyone and I don't mean like co-writing. I mean just like her laptop, my laptop on the table in the same room writing with someone. I haven't done that in years. Like it's easily 12 years, I would say. My old housemate was a writer and that would be the last time that I've written beside someone, you know. So it was actually quite cool. We were chatting because we hadn't seen each other for a while and, you know, there's lots to chat about. But once we started writing, I wrote that entire first scene of the prologue. And once it started, it flowed really well. And that was really good. And she began editing. So she's got a 100,000-word Marion Keyes-style book and she's working on the second in her series that she's writing. I've been lucky. She's sending me the chapters to read and it's really good what I've read so far. So it's like, I'm going to send her mine and I'm a little bit worried. So I think that's probably a good segue into the topic of the day, which is, drum roll, I don't even know if you can hear that.
I did not hear that, but I'm imagining the drum roll. So that's our lead-in to what we're talking about today, which I have been struggling with all week, and obviously you are too, yeah. Which is
not just this week.
Good old imposter syndrome, you know, where you feel like an imposter as a writer. You don't feel like you are an author. If people ask you, that's my biggest problem. When people ask me, what do you do for a living? And I go, oh, I'm a mother. Because when I say I'm a writer or I'm an author, it's usually followed with, oh, wow, have I seen anything in bookstores? And then it comes into the long spiel of, you know, 98% of what I sell is ebooks online, that I'm a self-published author. And look, the response isn't as great as what I would hope. So I tend to, I don't think your regular non-writers fully understand how great indie writing is and how popular it actually is. Out there. So, you know, they're quite shocked when they find out that I earn money from it online. I mean, we're in Australia, everybody has ebooks, obviously, but there is still a lot of people who don't go past the paperback.
So
I was really struggling with this week. And, but what brought this on is, I mean, we've been fighting with this for quite a while. I mean, I've been publishing for 4 years and I still have imposter syndrome, but. A friend of ours, I sent my smaller books, which are coming out soon under Skylar, to a friend of ours, Angela Stevens, who we just love her books. I mean, she just has such a gift for writing. And when she said, oh, let's have a look at your work, I like to have people look over for editing and things like that. I did not want to send it. I was like, I don't want her looking at my work because she's just that good and I am not good enough. Which I think, you know, we've been talking about this a lot. It stops us from actually doing a lot of things as an author and doing that marketing, or sometimes it stops us from, you know, reaching out to other authors and things like that because we don't feel like we're good enough, you know. But at the end of the day, we've got to remind ourselves that this is our career and we are writers. We're putting the words on the page, we're publishing, we are essentially running our own business without the help of a lot of other people. A lot of what we do, I mean, you know, I pretty much do a lot of things myself now, formatting everything. The only thing I will not live without is an editor. I need an editor. So that's where I'm struggling, and obviously you are too, and probably a lot of other people who are listening.
Well,
doing it too.
Yeah, I think it's widespread. I found it back when I was doing the cooking show, and the advice, you know, at the time was to sell online nonfiction stuff. You need to put yourself out there as an expert. And I was really annoyed by that concept as well, because I see a lot of people with essentially cornflake packet qualifications happily branding themselves as experts against people with significant education and knowledge in an area. And that's not to be like educational snobbery, but, you know, it's one of those things. If you're going to have heart surgery, you want the person who went to really study it. You don't want the person who had an operation once. And online, I think that's a bit of the difference between the kind of experts that you get. And it's funny, a lot of the people who doubt their abilities are probably doing okay, like a lot better than they think they are. And then the people who aren't doubting it, they're happily out there putting their faces everywhere, and their work everywhere, saying, I'm an expert, read my stuff. And so, so I think I've got that struggle, because it's like, yeah, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who thinks, or who doesn't know what they don't know, or thinks they know more than they do. And in writing, that comes out with, oh my, you know, is it all show and not tell? Is it all tell and not show? And, you know, is the grammar all over the place? And is the story any good? Or, you know, and I've always had like hard feedback on, oh, this is contrived. This isn't, you know, this is, I don't know, is this cliche, this plot or whatever. And so then you really worry about, oh, well, does this add up? Does this not add up? And then you read other people's stuff and you think, oh my God, people had issues about that in my story, which is totally plausible. And then you see this in this other book where you think, well, that would never happen. So I think I just...
Hence my Insta-loves.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And so I think that's where this doubt, this self-doubt just spirals and gets worse. And
yeah,
and then it brings a deeper question of, when am I ever going to be feeling comfortable with this label? Am I ever going to feel comfortable with the label? Like just creating the Facebook page, what is, I don't even know the tag. I think it's Author Lisa White. Same on Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the panic attacks I had over that. And because I felt like, I'm not an author though. I'm not a real published author. I've only published my own book. Yeah. And yeah, and again, there you go. It shows it there. And, you know, the reason I went with Author Lisa White is because Lisa White was taken. Lisa White writer was taken, I think, when it came to websites. You know, I went through the whole thing. And so with a name as common as mine, what I could find was Author Lisa White. And, yeah, so I think it comes to that thing. At what point are you going to feel that you're not a fake? You know, and how, what, I don't know, how do you go around this? Like, what are the steps that you can take or that you're taking to tackle it?
Yeah. I think, look, I think you really need to just embrace it and say it to as many people as you can because, you know, we were talking about when will we actually claim that we're authors? Mm. You know, what's it going to take? And, you know, like we were saying, after the first book we thought we would, after the 10th book we thought we would, you know, we're still climbing and we're still not claiming it. I mean, I think I need to just walk around, you know, and just tell everybody. I'll just stop random people in the street and say,
I'm Sarah, I'm an author.
I am no longer an imposter. I mean, I have no idea. I'm still like, working on
that. Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I am so good at that. But it's true. And yeah. I think it's only when you can look back and say, I felt the same. And it's like, when is it? When I get my degree, when I do honours, when I do the next qualification, when I've published the first book with the non-fiction. Well, there's like 12 of them now or more, I think. And then there's when I do the fiction. Well, I've got the novella. So when I do the next book, the real full-length book, oh, no, when I complete the series, when I have more than one series, or does it come, is part of this because I'm not earning money from it, you know, and that's why I feel like a fraud with that. Well, not a fraud, that's the wrong word, that's too strong. But, you know, that's why I feel like I can't tell anyone I'm a writer or an author because I'm not earning money from it. And, you know, then you say, oh, we care about our businesses. It's like, I don't have a business. Businesses make money. I've got an expensive hobby. And so yeah
I get that. I do. I mean, you know, we've been talking about my wages, you know, what I earn from my royalties slowly going up, and they go up every month, and I'm still doing it. I'm earning a wage from it and I'm still doing it. I'm like, I'm not an author, I'm an imposter.
I wonder if part of it is a bit like I don't know if you found this with childbirth. I found this with childbirth. Everybody, you know, I don't know about you. All my friends, we all seem to have kids at the same time. And then you see people's social media images and it's like, I'm so in love. And you think, oh, okay. And so you have this kind of expectation of how it's going to feel when it happens to you. And then you have your baby and you think, wow, man, oh my God, I've got a person to look after, you know. And it's like all those things are there, but when you're in that situation, it feels different than you thought it would feel when you're looking at it from outside. And
absolutely. Yes.
So you know what I mean? Like you see other people with their magazine features, or you see their yellow orange tag of bestseller status, or you hear what they're earning or whatever. And you just think, oh, that's, So when I'm there, it's going to feel like that rather than I'm probably already there. Well, I'm there enough. I finished a book. That's a lot further than a lot of people who've never finished a book get to. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
Look, I mean, it just goes back to what we were just saying. I mean, we've both got orange tags for number one new releases and things like that. That doesn't change my mindset at all.
Exactly.
I still struggle for people reading my books. I'm like, what if they don't like it? You know, they paid half of what it costs for a cup of coffee, you know, and I don't always like the coffee I get, but what if they don't like it, you know? And I really doubt myself a lot because I work really hard to get better at my craft. And I don't want to disappoint these people that have just, you know, taken the time to buy my book. But I honestly, I don't know if it's ever going to change. I think, like I said, we're just going to have to start embracing it and just tell everybody we're like, these
make a badge. Hi, I'm Sarah and I'm an author.
That's right. You know, just somehow work past it. I think that's just a personal struggle.
So indie published and proud. There's another badge.
Oh my gosh. And I really am proud to be an indie author. I'm so proud when I tell people that I'm an indie author. To me, that means I did it myself. I didn't wait for a publishing contract and sign my copyrights over and things like that. I'm actually so happy that you can do this for yourself these days and publish, you know, something that people want to read. But in saying that, I think that leads into what we're going to talk about next, about being an indie author. And that's putting good work out, top-notch work. What did I call it before?
Putting your best work forward. And I'll just like slip in before we launch into that. And I'll say, yeah, I agree. I think part of that other thing, I think if you're feeling that whole imposter syndrome thing, it comes down to those two things, asking yourself, really, like, is there a point in time that you can see yourself being comfortable with the label? Because if not, at least you're self-aware enough to realize that it's probably going to be a persistent thing that you need to work on your self-confidence about it and find out, you know, your own milestones that you're at least going to find some happiness from and some pride as well.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, well, if you are worried though and you feel like, oh, but my work is limited or whatever, you know, go and have a look then, be objective about it and see, am I putting out a quality product to the best of my ability? And what kind of standards do I think I need to have? I mean, obviously we're not all going to be able to go and become English professors with 50 years of academic experience behind us before we write that first novel. So what do you feel you need? Do you feel your grammar needs to be better? I certainly feel that my first draft, the way that I write, like I feel I need to work on that kind of grammar and sentence structure and those kinds of things. I feel like a writer should know this, you know, and so that's kind of what holds me back. And so I need to go and do some more research and learn about that. And my editor is really cool. Like she writes notes to help me because I want to learn some of these basic things so that I can start feeling like, yeah, I actually am a writer and I know what a writer should know, you know? And so for you, whatever that checklist is, what is it that you feel that a writer should know and or do so that you can do it so that when you're feeling, you know, like you're lacking in confidence, that you can look back and say, well, actually, you know, I'm meeting these standards and that's actually okay. Does that make sense? So. Yes. So, yeah, and I think that leads in really well with what Sarah's talking about, putting your foot forward. But for me, what I've done, like, you know, in the fiction space, all I'm doing is, well, I'm hiring an editor who really is a real editor. You know, she has the arts degree. She has the editing certificate and that kind of thing, where I'm doing my best not to, you know, to make sure I'm following industry standards. I've become a member of the Alliance of Independent Authors and, you know, they're all about the ethical author, people who aren't doing chonky things. I hire a cover designer who can put out a better looking cover than I could. And I'm, you know, I've made the commitment to try to release my best work without trying to hang on to it so long that I never actually release anything. So yeah. I think that's the way I'm kind of tackling it. But I think that you're right there with going out and introducing yourself and saying, I'm an author, without saying, oh, it's only self-published. So yeah, I think you've got to own it. I think you're right there. All right.
Yeah, so that's fine.
Let's talk about putting your best work forward, because this is something that you're passionate about and I am passionate about it too. There have been a couple of conversations about this. And so we thought we might record one.
That's right. And like, this is why we've called the podcast Indie Author Diaries, because we really are proud to be indie authors. I mean, it's such a gift to us, and we really get to do life on our terms. And in saying that, though, we really respect the indie author journey. And so we want to see the best work put out there that you can do, because we've got to compete with these big time published authors, you know, and people expect when they read our books that they're reading something of quality. What we've found lately, you know, I'm probably going to step on some toes here. I'm really sorry. Turn off the podcast now if you don't want to listen. But we have come across some books lately. We are avid readers, absolutely avid readers. We love to support our indie authors. And but there have been a few lately where it's not good. I get very upset when I say it. There have been some really bad books that we have come across lately. We're not naming authors. There's no point in this. But there have been a few where they're pumping out these books really, really fast, and the editing, I can't even get past the first few pages. Now, my problem with that is they're not doing themselves a favor. Nobody's going to want to pick up. Yeah, nobody's going to want to pick up the next book. And read that if you can't even make it past the first few pages of editing. I say this to everybody, it doesn't matter whether you're new or whether you've been doing this for years, you know, get it edited. Come on, people. I mean, we are trying to raise the bar here for indie authors and set an example. I'm not saying you're not going to have editing issues within your work. I've found typos the last few years where I'm appalled that I even let them be in my books. The great thing about being an indie author is we can fix those and re-upload them as soon as we catch them, because we want to keep our readers. And what it's doing is if you're just, I don't care if you've read a book that says, you know, publish, you know, self-publish and it'll cost you nothing. That is an absolute load of crap. I mean, if you want to put your best work out, you've got to hire an editor. And like Lisa said, you've got to hire somebody who's going to give you a great cover. If you're an editor and you are a cover designer and you can do it all, that's awesome. And I think you're awesome. But most of us are not that smart yet.
I'm just going to like step in to clarify that as well, because a lot of these books, like the books that Sarah's complaining about, and I know what she's talking about because I've been seeing a couple myself, and those books, it's like the person wrote the first draft and didn't actually read the book after writing that first draft. That's what we're getting upset and annoyed about, because when you read the book, you usually pick up where missing words are in sentences or where you've got the wrong words in place of other words and things like that. So yeah. I think that's where it's really, and you come across feeling a bit miffed that you spent time reading it.
Yeah.
And you come across miffed that you spent money on it. And I'm, you know, I maybe this is my problem, because I'm not one of those people that like going and putting 1-star reviews on everything. I feel like if I don't have anything nice to say, I won't say anything. If it was a friend, though, thank God none of my friends release quality like this. but I would be emailing them and saying, oh, hey, here's feedback, rather than leaving a friend a humiliating review. And we both know people that do this as well.
That's right.
But I think the point is, just to say, make sure it's you've read the book. So even if you can't afford an editor, get someone else to read it, or make sure you read the book a second time, because you will pick up missing words in sentences. You'll pick up basic typos when you do that. So this is not, this is not a, it has to be like five stages of editing. I mean, that's fantastic. If you can afford that, go for it. Do it.
Yeah.
But we mean read the book after the first draft, at the very least.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you said it in this time we're recording, about you buy a coffee. Now, not every coffee you have is wonderful, but you're selling your books for the price of a coffee. And I thought it's interesting because people get so passionate about how they feel about a book, and like, you sell a 99-cent book or a free book, and even our expensive books, you know, because these aren't print books people are buying, these are the ebooks. Even in my most expensive book, I think it's $5, but you know, where do you get the 2-star review on the free book? And people get so passionate about these books, and it's like, you know, you have a bad coffee, you don't feel the need to go and like put it on 5 different review sites so that everyone in the world knows that cafe made a crap cup of coffee.
Oh yes, we take some beating.
But absolutely, when it comes to writing books, people get feisty and passionate about it. They will go and they will make sure, they will never read that author again, and they will never do the, and you know, and so you've got to understand, and this was the worst book I've ever read in my life. It's like, wow, that's a big
actually book. We were laughing about that this week, because I think out of four years I've read indie, I've lived and breathed indie, and I think this was my first week, wasn't it, where I had actually hit that point of, I was so angry about a book.
See, this was me like 3 months ago when I'm like,
I've never left a 1-star. I never will. I absolutely never will. I really think that a lot of the time, you know, I might not like something, but somebody else will. Mm-hmm. So I'll never do that to another author. But I was really angry this week. I was so angry. And I think the excuse, you know, the excuses of, well, I just can't afford one, it was like a slap into the face of every indie author that has saved up and paid for that editor, because they want their readers to read the best thing they can put out. So this one person, I was like, I just couldn't even believe you gave me that excuse. So, so anyway, you know, what was meant to be a good thing, you know, and don't get me wrong, I will still read indie authors' books nonstop. They're amazing. But yeah, I definitely won't be reading this person again.
Why is that though? Why are people so passionate? Is it because they're looking for you desperately for escapism or some hope or entertainment, whatever it is? And I think people are so busy now, and I think their time is precious, as is their money. And yeah, so I don't know, they feel very passionate about what you give them. And if they don't feel like you're respecting their time, they'll be vocal about it. This is not like a cup of coffee, and they'll go to that same cafe and get another cup tomorrow. No.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to please everybody.
If you write a bad book, it's unlikely they're going to come back and buy all your other books to see if they weren't all crap. Okay, so that was a bit of a candid chat about things that we are passionate about and that have happened over the last week. We'll be back next week. We haven't actually planned what we're chatting about next week, so I can't use it as a teaser. You'll just have to come back for the surprise with us. As always, don't forget to come and say hello over on Instagram or on Facebook. And if you've got any questions, or if there's stuff you'd like to chat about or you'd like to chat with us, send us a message. We're going through, you know, a list of replies to things. We will start looking at interviews. It's just a matter of when we can both get together with someone. So we've got the list there. We're starting to approach people. It's just maybe it's going to happen in the new year. We'll have a look because things are getting a bit busy now. What do you reckon?
Do you interviews in the new year?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, any parting words, Sarah?
There's no parting words. Oh, my gosh, I think we said it all today, didn't we?
All right. Well, then, have a great week, everybody, and we will be back next week.
Bye.